One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
The common axiom in our culture today is just listen to your heart. Do what your heart tells you. Listen to your heart and follow your heart. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're going to tell you if you follow your heart, here's what you will do really well. Sin. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we're grateful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. We are going today to tackle again our study in the Heidelberg Catechism. This is with Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And if you haven't listened to the earlier broadcasts on the Heidelberg Catechism, we have really been excited to do this on the radio. I had somebody who heard this on the radio, our study, and was so encouraged by it, she got a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism and came back to me and said, "This is one of the most beautiful presentations of the Christian faith I've come across." And we want you to see that we as Christians today are somewhat isolated from our history. I'm sure you'd agree with this, Mike, that we're isolated from our history. We don't appreciate our history the way that we should. And here we see that Christians throughout have wrestled through these issues, haven't they?
Absolutely. It's important for us not to try to go back and reinvent the wheel. We do need to know a little bit of what has been confessed, what has been wrestled through, what has been thought of by those who've gone before us. And the creeds and confessions really help us do that. They set boundaries of Orthodox doctrine, showing us what is essential, what is not. And the Heidelberg Catechism is beautiful because it's such a clear and comforting summary of the Christian faith. And in this section that we're going through right now, the section on guilt and misery, it really summarizes well and succinctly, concisely, what our sin means to God, what it means for us, and what we need to have redemption from that sin.
Right. And as rightly said, you really will never appreciate grace. You'll never understand gospel. You'll never really marvel at what Jesus actually did for you. If you don't understand the extent of your misery. So we always have to begin there. We always begin with, as we're looking at a systematic presentation of the Christian faith, we're starting with what we believe about ourselves, what God has said about us, why we even need a Savior. And we've looked at here a summary statement in the Heidelberg Catechism, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That's how it began. It showed us the whole plan of salvation with the person and the work of Christ. We then looked at what we need to know in this life, three things: how great our sin and misery are, how we're set free from our sin and misery, and how we are to live thankfully to God for such deliverance. Today, then, we turn to now unpacking, Mike, a little bit what we believe about sin. And the next question in logical sequence here that we're wrestling through is this: did God create man so wicked and perverse? And the answer is no. But God created man good and after his own image, that is, in righteousness and true holiness, that he might rightly know God his creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal blessedness to praise and glorify him. The first thing that Heidelberg wants to stress, the first thing that Christians understood throughout history is we are not to blame God for the mess that we are in. We're wrestling with where this mess came from, but first, how God created us at the beginning.
That's right. We got to always remember that God's creation was pronounced by God to be good, and that included man. It's because of man's own willful sin and disobedience that he plunged the human race into depravity, into the judgment that he rightly deserves. But God did not make man that way in the beginning. He made man upright, like the Catechism summarizes from all the teaching of Scripture, to know God and love him, to glorify him forever, and to live with him in eternal glory. The Heidelberg says eternal blessedness there. Really what it's summarizing is that glorified life that was held out to Adam as a goal if he remained obedient in the garden, and he would have brought himself and all those whom he represented, the whole human race, into that glorified life that was symbolized in the tree of life.
Right. And I think this is kind of a stumbling block for many people who question Christianity, question what's happened in this world, because no one can deny. I mean, you just flip on the news at night. We see awful atrocities. We see, you know, news reporting rape, murder, all sorts of things, terrible things that have even happened, you know, down here in the South. We see all these things. We're so accustomed to it. Well, the skeptic comes along and says, well, if God is so good, if God is so righteous, then why did he even allow this to happen? And where does sin come from? And these questions are sort of the apologetic questions that we have to deal with as Christians and answer, you know, and looking at this massive problem of a fallen world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here in this particular question and answer, I think what's so helpful to be reminded of, God has told us in his word how this all happened, how this mess came about. And the one thing that God has said really clear in the scriptures about this is God didn't do this. God didn't create this mess. God, as you said, Mike, created everything good. The blame is laid at our own choice to rebel and depart from the clear way that God set out in the Garden of Eden at the instigation of the devil. And that's something we have to maintain.
That's right. And we need to remember that God gave Adam a true free will in the beginning. And this is something very important for us to understand, is that, you know, ever since the fall, our wills, our minds, our emotions, all of us have been tainted with sin, which means that there's some way in which our will is warped and bent toward evil and toward sin. Not that it's as evil or sinful as it possibly could be, but that it's been affected by the fall. But in the beginning, man had a pristine and holy being and free will, then he could freely choose between the good and the evil, between obeying God and disobeying God. God created humans in that capacity, in that way. He made them upright. He made them with that ability to choose. And through the instigation of the devil, Adam chose to disobey.
And I think that's really important to emphasize the free will, because that, I mean, how much has that been in a debate in Christian circles about free will today? And what people don't understand is that there is free will. That free will was given in the Garden of Eden.
Exactly.
It was dumped in the Garden of Eden after that, because man plunged himself into ruin, and the will now is completely directed by the sinful nature.
Right.
So whatever he's going to do after the fall, it's going to be driven by that sinful nature. He'll never choose something that's righteous, good, and holy, right, because that's not attractive to the nature. But as Mike rightly pointed out here, in the Garden of Eden, Adam lived in communion with God. Adam here was created in righteousness and true holiness, and he had a will. He had a perfect free will. He had to make the choice. Would he listen to what God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or would he buy into the lie of the devil, who said, as God really said, he's not in your best interest. Go and be your own gods.
Right.
And that's essentially what happened.
Yeah, and we want to make clear that we're not saying that ever since the fall, man has no free will. He has free will. The problem is that he's going to choose according to his fallen nature. But before the fall, man didn't have a fallen nature, and so he could truly choose that which was good. But because of the instigation of the devil, man plunged himself into the sin and misery.
And so it's helpful to think about here, you know, in this question answer six, you know, the goal was for us to live with him in eternal blessedness. And we can't even imagine what that was, because today all we see is this fallen world. Well, the next logical question then is where did that depraved nature come from? And the answer here given in the Heidelberg is from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise, whereby our nature became so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. And this is something we have to state today that's so important. the biblical data, the biblical record declares to us from inspiration from God that we're sinful now from conception on. Mm. This is something that we inherited from Adam. This is something that when Adam died, all of us died. So you kind of understand the importance when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. He was saying that all of us now, after the fall, are spiritually dead. There's no spiritual life in us. We won't respond to the things of God because the natural man doesn't receive them. This is what has happened. It's so poisoned our natures that now we find ourselves, and this is the desperate situation of humanity, at enmity with God and with man. We hate God perfectly, and we hate man. And that's the predicament now of the human race. That's the message that has to get out today, that everyone now, John 3, because of sin, who is outside of Jesus Christ, abides under his wrath.
Right. And now we need that reconciliation, like you said, Chris, reconciliation to God and reconciliation to our fellow man. And like you said, that's gone back, as the Heidelberg summarizes, to conception, not only from birth, but even to how we were conceived. David says in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So there's no age of accountability here in which people, you know, become right. sinners at some point in time in their life. No, it's actually from the very beginning of their life, in conception in the womb. And that death that we're talking about is a spiritual death. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. It was this active spiritual death, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Mm-hmm. The whole human race have become children of wrath because of our sin. Our sin that was first imputed to us by Adam's sin, that guilt that was his has become ours because he was our representative in the garden, and also the corruption that came through that, and our own sin has also rendered us guilty. I mean, who right now listening to this hasn't committed sin before God? And that is our great predicament. God didn't make us this way. He made man right and good and holy and in righteousness. But because of the fall, this is the predicament. And so what the Heidelberg is doing is it's helping us see the Bible's teaching about sin and our need for a Savior.
You know, and it's important to say the Bible is brutally honest about this. You know, this is the one thing today where I think one of the great tragedies is today that we've downplayed this. This is not the stuff that people want to hear. I started the program by talking about our view of the heart, and everything about God's truth is antithetical to human wisdom. What does human wisdom tell you? Human wisdom wants to tell you that you're all good people. Human wisdom and the lie of the devil is that you guys are doing well before God, and hey, you know, we're all just a bunch of brothers here on earth. We're all going to make it to heaven. Throw your arms around each other, and there's no real issue here. Well, that's not the message of the Bible, and this is why I think the gospel makes such little headway today in North America, because I remember, Mike, going through the bookstore and coming across Robert Schuller's book on the new self-esteem, or the new reformation, he called it, and his view was, well, we need to get rid of the old reformation's view of sin and replace it with a positive view of the human self. Mm. Well, what you essentially do then is throw out a need for a savior, or you redefine the message to be saved from other, you need to be saved from other things. You know, instead of the great message, we need to be saved from our sin and the wrath to come. And I think something's been greatly lost in the church today because we're not impressing upon people the desperate place they are in apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and in the old Adam.
That's right. And that's why reading stuff like Romans chapters 1 through 3 or there at the beginning of Ephesians 2 is so helpful as we listen to that brutal honesty that the scriptures give us about our own sin. It gives us a clear and accurate diagnosis. And, you know, it's not to the goal in that is not to make us feel bad about ourselves, but to show us the reality of our own sin and iniquity before God so that we will run to the solution. Right. And that solution is Christ. I mean, we won't know the good news unless we know the bad news. Right. We won't appreciate the solution unless we truly understand the problem. And the problem is our sin and iniquity. That in Adam's fall, sinned we all. And we are all rendered now guilty subjects. And as Paul says in Romans 3, the whole world will be held accountable before God, and every mouth will be stopped because the law exposes our own sin. This leaves us in a place ready now to hear the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right. And the solution, the remedy, will only be as radical as we define the problem. Right. And that's why it's important to say that. I mean, if the problem is just when you come to church having a bad day or bad finances or bad marriage, well, the solution will be how to fix those things. But we're not just dealing with symptoms, Mike. I don't. When you go to the doctor, what kind of a doctor would he be if you have a cold and he just hands you a Kleenex? Mm-hmm. That's not the solution to the greater problem. And that's why we have to be so clear. I appreciated what you said that, in preaching sin and exposing sin, the goal is not to leave somebody there, mm-hmm. but you've got to get there. You've got to do that so that people will then ask the question that we rarely hear being asked today. The desperate question that comes out in Acts when the apostles were preaching, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You hear the cry in that because they came to a burden and a sense of despair of their desperate state, that if they died today in this state, they go to a place called hell where the worm does not die. And that desperate cry then leads us to give the remedy, mm-hmm. which is a great remedy.
That's right.
Which is so wonderful that God didn't leave us there, but he gave his beloved son who became a curse for us and died on the cross, shedding his blood, so that he might actually pay for every last sin for all those who call out upon his name.
That's right. I mean, and it's really why God instituted a whole sacrificial system, was to point us to Jesus Christ and to show us through all of those hundreds of years, through the Levitical sacrifices and the priesthood, that without the shedding of blood, there remains no remission of sin. And so all the brutality and the violence of the sacrificial system shows us the depth of our sins so that we appreciate the Savior. Christ is so far greater, so much better than we realize. And he really is the solution to our great problem and predicament through the fall.
Amen. And that leads us to then the final question of this particular section here in the Heidelberg. And that's question 8, which is, but are we so depraved that we are completely incapable of any good and prone toward all evil? And I think this is a really important question, Mike, because some people could be hearing us and saying, well, there go those Christian pastors just beating everyone into a place of, just feeling how awful we really are. Well, yes, in terms of you're standing before God and entering into heaven, you'll never have, if you are left in that old sinful nature, you'll never have what God demands. You'll never be able to fulfill perfection and righteousness to enter into heaven. So yes, we are saying that. But we also realize, in looking out into a world, that God has done many wonderful preserving mercies, and that God has also allowed a certain civic good and common good to continue in society so that we just don't self-destruct, because that is what would happen if that's the case. So the question then is asking us here, are we completely incapable of any good and prone toward all evil? In terms of our right standing before God, what is the answer to that? Yes, you can't do it.
Right, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. That's how the Heidelberg answers it. Yeah, that's important that we understand that the Heidelberg Catechism is not teaching that we are as evil as we possibly could be. We could always be more evil. I mean, we can take the greatest examples of evil in the world, and we can see how they could have been worse. So Hitler was responsible for the deaths of, 8 million people in concentration camps and the attempted extinction of a whole human race. And yet, he could have been worse, couldn't he? So we're not saying that because of sin and because of the fall, that we are as evil as we possibly could be. That's not the doctrine of total depravity. The doctrine of total depravity is just simply that every aspect of the human nature, of the human being, has been affected by sin. So the will, the emotions, the intellect, even the body have all been tainted in some way from the fall. But we are saying that because of the fall, there is nothing that we can do that merits heaven. That yes, that we are so corrupt that we can't produce a single good work that on its own God looks at and says, yes, now that is acceptable. Our good works have to come through Jesus Christ. And this is why we need to be born again. We need to be raised up to newness of life, united with the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, so that we begin to walk in those good works that God prepared beforehand, so that we can now live a life through Christ, through his mediation, covered by his righteousness, united with him by the Spirit, that is now glorifying to God. That's what we're saying.
Right. And so, you know, to back up a little bit and rehearse what we've emphasized and why this is so important. Well, you know, what are we saying about man? When man fell, did he fall off the Eiffel Tower or did he fall off the first story of your roof? If he fell off the first story of the roof, he's, you know, hit, but he's going to get up. He may have a broken leg. He may be scraped up and bruised up. But we're not saying that. We're saying when he fell off the Eiffel Tower, he hit and there's no more spiritual life. That's the predicament of the human race, dead in trespasses and sins. That's their spiritual nature before God. Imagery being even that of somebody like Lazarus in the tomb, where Jesus had to call him and give him life, call him out from being dead. And that's our situation. That's what Jesus was emphasizing to Nicodemus when he said, you must be born again. The shocking thing was, is Nicodemus, as a spiritual teacher in Israel, didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why we're doing this on Abounding Grace. You just can't take for granted today. You can't assume that this is properly understood. I would say that I don't even begin as a sinner and a pastor to fully grasp the depths of my predicament before this holy God. I don't fully see how deceitful the sinful heart is. And that's why we have to preach what the scriptures say about this and give this truth so that people ask the right questions about the remedy. That's the first thing we've really emphasized here.
That's right. Yeah. And again, this is really a summary of things that are taught in scripture. It's just a summary of what Paul tells us in his epistle to the Romans, where he's expounding on the depth of our depravity and our sin that leaves us in a place of redemption and of need of salvation. And so we want to emphasize again, all the Heidelberg Catechism is doing is giving us a summary of the great doctrines of Scripture.
Right. And then, you know, what we're going to turn to here, there's some more here and a few more Lord's Days on, you know, the question of what does God require of us? What is the extent of what he requires of us? And then it's going to lead us in properly to, and we can just briefly touch on this here, an understanding of why the law was given. Mm-hmm. You know, God gave this law. And now, I mean, what is the general view of people today about humanity? If you ask them, how are they going to enter heaven? Mike, what is the default answer to that?
That I'm good enough, that I haven't been a terrible person.
Right. And that's that. I mean, I hear that universally still to this day. And if that's the case, well, then we have no need for hearing or even receiving what Christ has done.
Right.
What did Christ continually say to the Pharisees? I didn't come for the righteous, mm-hmm. but I came for sinners.
Right. Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5.
So it's those who are burdened with a sense of their sin. It's those who are distressed with a sense of their sin. It's those with the broken and contrite heart that the Lord says he's receiving. It's not those who are running around saying, I'm leading a good, moral, righteous life. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and how tough is that here in the Southwest? Let's just say San Diego. You know, you got a lot of fine, upstanding, hardworking, moral people. That's how society looks at that, right? And God is defining things entirely different for us. And it's hard sometimes to receive. It's hard to hear, but the goal is his glorious salvation. And that's what the goal is in preaching, is that every sermon then has to be directed to what Jesus has come to do and remedy.
Right. We need to hear the good news. And that's really the whole point of the scriptures, is that God is redeeming a people for himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's really what the Bible is all about from Genesis to Revelation. And all the Heidelberg Catechism is, it's just a teaching tool that was written in Heidelberg during the Protestant Reformation and has been confessed by Reformed churches now for 450 years. It's simply a summary of the Christian faith, showing us our guilt, the grace that God gives us, and the gratitude that we now live in because of him.
Right. And so, you know, if again, we make this offer to you. If you desire to have a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism, we will send that out to you free of charge. Look through it. Hey, it's free. Write to us and let us know. And again, we want these programs to be a blessing to you, to help you understand the Christian faith, to know the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to find a church where the gospels preach continually. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we do direct you to our website at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us. There's a place to support us online. 100% of your support goes to the cost of the program. Thanks again to Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee of joining us. And if you're down in the Santee area or San Diego in the South, and you're looking for a church that is committed to preaching the Word of God in season, out of season, an invite is given to join the brothers and sisters at Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. The web address is escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. Address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.